So we are in Parshas Bo, and Parshas Bo is all about when the Jewish people come out of Mitzrayim. A lot to speak about that, but I'd like to pick up on something we spoke about a couple of days ago. Last night I repeated it a little bit. The Rambam writes in the Mishnah Torah in Hilchos Tshuva, Rishus l'chol adam nesuna, the Rambam tells us every person has the ability to choose. Im rotze lahatos atzmo l'derech tova v'lios tzadik harishus biyado. If a person, an individual, chooses that they want to be righteous, that they want to do the right thing, they have every right to do that. God gives you the opportunity to choose which direction you want to go to. And he says, Hushakasa Batorah, this is what it says in the Torah, Hein ha'adam haya ka'achad mimenu ladas tovara, that God says, human beings are like one of us, that human beings have the ability, ladas tovara, to do the right thing or the wrong thing. And therefore, the Rambam says, when a person might choose to do the wrong thing, it is your problem, the onus is on you, and therefore you have to do tshuva, because we hold people responsible for what they do, for their actions, for their activities in life. And the Malbim writes also, in the very beginning of Chumash, what does it mean, Nasa Adam Bitzalmenu Kidmusenu? How exactly, writes the Malbim, were we made in the image of the Ribono Shel Olam? In what way do you find that we have this unique way of being considered like Hashem Himself? So he writes, you can't say that it's just about the intellect, because there are many things that have intellect. He says that rather what he thinks Nasa Adam Bitzalmenu Kidmusenu means, Shelo Nimtza Digmasa, we have something that a human being has the ability to do that no other creation has the ability, and that is V'hu Chelek Shesiaches El Hashem Levado, and this is something that God Himself gave us, and that is the Koach HaBechira Sheniten Ala Adam Mashu Chavshi V'maisav U'moshel Al Olamo HaKatan, the fact that a human being has the ability to govern over themselves, to make decisions for themselves, to have the ability to be a Baal Bechira, says the Malbim, in that way we are like God Himself. The same way the Ribono Shel Olam chose to create the world and chooses to do everything in the world, so too we as individuals have the ability, because of the power vested in us as a image of the Ribono Shel Olam, therefore we also are considered Baalei Bechira. So that is certainly an axiom that we all believe in. That is something that everybody has to think about. However, we come to our parsha and we have something which is very strange, something which is very unusual. And I normally don't give shiurim like this. I don't have an answer to the questions I'm raising. I don't like to do that. But I think this is an issue that piqued my curiosity. It could be it's on the minds of others as well. But let's see. Moshe Rabbeinu is having a conversation with Paro, and he warns him about Makas Bechoros. He warns him in advance, and he says, Ka'amar Hashem, this is what Hashem instructed, Ka'chatzos ha'layla ani yotzei b'soch Mitzrayim. God says, at Chatzos ha'layla, what does Moshe Rabbeinu say? Around Chatzos, there's a whole discussion in the Gemara, but God said He's coming at Chatzos, and at that time, U'meis ka'bachar be'eretz Mitzrayim, mi bachar, paro ha'yoshev al kiso. God is going to destroy not only the Bechorim down in the villages, but also the ones in the palaces. And Moshe Rabbeinu warns, there's going to be an outrage in Mitzrayim because ein bayis asher ein shel meis. Every single house is going to have somebody, a member of the family, who's dead. Asher kamo lo niyasa v'chamo lo sosiv. There has never been any experience like this in Mitzrayim, or perhaps anywhere in the world. This is going to be something that's going to shake the whole community. However, ulechol b'nei Yisrael, says the pasuk, when it came to the Jewish community at the time in Makas Bechoros, although there was so much going on and dead bodies and people screaming and yelling and so much pandemonium, by the Jews, life was calm. Lo yecharatz kelav lishono, even the dogs, even the animals didn't make any noise. L'me'ish v'yad behema l'man teidun asher yifla Hashem bein Mitzrayim uvein Yisrael. And this showed the obvious difference that there was in Mitzrayim between the Jewish community and the rest of the Egyptian society. That's what Moshe Rabbeinu says. So Rashi writes in our parsha, in the name of the Michilta, that this comes to teach you, Ulechol b'nei Yisrael lo yechratz kelev l'shono, how lucky we were that even the dogs in Mitzrayim, even the pets, even the animals didn't make any noise, says Rashi, comes to teach you, She'ein HaKadosh Baruch Hu mekapeach schar kol beria. If somebody or if some part of creation does the right thing, makes the right choice, and benefits someone else, God will never withhold the reward for such an individual or for such a creature. Shenemar, because we say in our parsha, Ulechol b'nei Yisrael lo yecharatz kelev l'shono, the dogs made sure to keep quiet and not to make any trouble for the Jews at the time. And therefore, Amar HaKadosh Baruch Hu, therefore, God says in Parshas Mishpatim, Tein lo scharu l'kelev tashlichon oso. What does that mean? The Torah has a very careful instruction, and that is when you have a trefa, when you have a certain kind of animal that cannot be consumed by a Jew. So we assume that You shouldn't just throw it in the garbage. You shouldn't just dispose of it. But rather, says the Pasuk, La'kelev tashlichon oso. You should throw it to the dog. Why should I throw it to the dog? What does God care what I do with it, as long as I don't eat it? What does it make a difference to God whether I give it to a dog or I throw it in the garbage? Says Rashi, no. Because the dogs deserve some kind of reward for doing the right thing. Because here during Makkas Bechoras they made sure to behave, and because they behaved and they made the Jews' lives a little bit easier, therefore they deserve to get reward. Now it would seem to be an indication that animals and Balei Chaim have a sense of Bechira. They have the ability, the same way human beings, we said before, have a right to choose between good and bad. So what do you mean to say? A dog also has the ability to choose between good and bad. A dog has the ability to decide whether or not it's going to make noise when God is punishing Mitzrayim. Is that really true? And because the dog does the right thing and chooses to do the proper thing, therefore the dog gets a reward. Is that what Rashi is teaching us? It sounds like a very strange concept. And so much more so that we began this year by saying, Nasa Adam Mitzalmeinu Kidmuseinu, that the unique capability of a human being to make decisions, to be a Baal Bechira, is something that is only given to human beings, what would seem to be only given to human beings. So what does it mean when we say that a dog gets schar for something that it did? It would seem to be a very strange kind of concept. The Ramban writes in Sefer Dvarim, in the name of the Rambam in the Mor Nevuchim, he says that the Rambam teaches us, I never saw it inside in the Mor Nevuchim, but I trust the Ramban, where he tells us that the Rambam says that animals have the same innate love for their children as human beings have. Writes the Rambam, how is it possible for that to be? So the Rambam explains, because the love that a mother has for her child is not because it has a seichel, not because the mother sits down and thinks about, should I love the child or shouldn't I love the child? No, that's something that is instinctive. A parent who nurtures a child so much, obviously is going to love that child. That's not something they think about, that's something that's natural. And therefore, writes the Ramban, animals have that same ability to love their children, not because they're bali seichel, that's not an indication that they have any understanding, or just because they go and they mate with a spouse, or they love their children, that doesn't mean, or they protect their kids, it doesn't mean that they are bali seichel, it doesn't mean they have an intellect, it just means, instinctively, from the heart, that is what an animal does, and that, says the Rambam, as quoted in the Ramban, is something that is shared both to animals and to human beings. So in the Sefer HaKolbo, in this, one of the Rishonim writes, in Mitzvah of Kisui Adam, a surprising comment, which is similar to what we just said from Rashi in our Parsha. So the Kolbo writes, and this is also quoted by the Balei HaTosfos, that why is it that we have a mitzvah of kisui hadam? So I would have said, because the Torah says you have to cover the blood. But the Kolbo focuses in on the question a little bit more carefully, and he says, not in general, why do we have a mitzvah of kisui hadam? Of course, God told us to do the mitzvah of kisui hadam. But he says, why is it that kisui hadam is limited only to a chay of a oaf, and it does not apply to a behemah? Why does it apply only to some animals when we shech them, and whereby when it comes to other animals, it might not apply? Why do we have this distinction? So he writes a fascinating story. Lefi sheh kishehi pila, Rivka es atzma me'al ha'gamol kisharasa es Yitzchak. What are we told when Rivka comes with Eliezer, and she sees in a distance this great husband that she's about to marry, and she's so overwhelmed by his presence, by Yetze Yitzchak l'suach l'sadeh, and all of a sudden Rivka sees him in an encounter with the Shekhinah, and it says that she falls off of her animal, off of her camel. On that occasion, we're told, Nashru Bisuleha, she lost her virginity because she fell off the animal. Vahaya Yitzchak, now Yitzchak goes ahead and marries this woman. He says, hey, this woman must have been fooling around with Eliezer on the way here. They had too much time together, and obviously she's not a Bisula anymore. I see what happened. Now, he didn't know that, of course, she was pure the whole time, and something happened the last minute, right when she got to him, to his presence. Yitzchak, as great as he thought Eliezer was, he had his suspicions that maybe Eliezer did something wrong that he shouldn't have done. So he goes and he confronts Eliezer and he asks him, can I ask, did anything happen along the way? Did you do something maybe you shouldn't have done? This wife was really supposed to be mine, and what took place? And Eliezer says, I'll tell you, everything was great, everything was perfect, until we got to the place where you were davening. Rivka falls off of the camel, and all of a sudden she loses her virginity because of that. And now, this is why she's no longer a Basula. Yitzchak says, come on, I don't buy the story. How do they, you really, you think I believe that? So Yitzchak and Eliezer go back to the place where it happened. Now, this probably was not in the same day. It was a couple of days later. So Yitzchak goes back to the place. He says, right here is where she fell. And he says, look, the blood is still here on the floor. The blood is still here on the floor. How could the blood last that long? So the Medrash says, I'm sorry, the Kolbo writes, that Basa Chaya Achas, there was an animal that realized this would be a necessary piece of evidence later on, and the animals came and watched over the blood in order that when Yitzchak came back, he wouldn't have any questions about what took place with Rivka and Eliezer. Fascinating story that is quoted by the Kolbo, and as we mentioned, it's quoted by the Balei HaTosis as well. And because of that, writes the Kolbo, God paid back those animals and said, we're going to cover your blood for all eternity, because you deserve to be rewarded. Similar to our parsha, we're going to reward the animals who didn't bark in Mitzrayim because they made the right choice. Really? They made the right choice? God made the right choice. God decided this is what should happen. What does that have to do with the animal? The animal is a bal bechira to decide whether or not they're going to do this righteous act or not. Animals don't think that way. Animals don't have a bechira. So this is a very unusual thing to consider, and quite frankly, I don't really have the answer to it. But I did see, I have a sefer at home, where they collected many different passages from the great Gaon, Rabbi Yosef Engel. So he wrote a number of svarim, but they collected a number of the things that he wrote and put it al seder of Chumash. So they have on our Parsha, I'm sorry, they have in the end of Parsha's Va'era. So over there we're told about the Tzvardeya, that we had Makas Tzvardeya, and there were frogs jumping all over the community, all over the town, and life was very difficult for them. So over there he quotes a Medrash, where the Medrash is actually not sure, do Tzvardeya, do animals actually have the ability to choose whether or not they're going to do the right thing? So he says, after all, we have a very famous Gemara, where the Gemara says, if I'm not mistaken, in Maseches Psachim, the Gemara tells us, Hananya, Mishael, and Azariah were willing to give up their lives al Kiddush Hashem. How, asked the Gemara, how did they know that they had the right to give up their lives al Kiddush Hashem? What gave them the ability, the strength, to know that this is what they should do? Says the Gemara, Nasu kavachamer mitzvardeya. They learned from the righteous frogs. Why? What did the frogs do? The frogs had no problem. God told them to go into the ovens, and God told them to go into the furnaces, and they were everywhere. Aye, the frog should have said, I'm going to get burnt, I'm going to die. No, the frog says, Al Kiddush Hashem, I'm willing to do it. Even if it means I'm going to get scorched, I'm going to get burnt, it doesn't make a difference, and they all went along with the plan. Ask Rabbi Yosef Engel, what do you mean? The frogs had a choice? God sent a plague of frogs into Mitzrayim, and he decided this is the way it's going to be. Means we want frogs everywhere. We want them in the ovens, we want them in the fires, we want them in the beds. So what? The frog is really somebody you should learn from? What did the frog do? He didn't make a decision. He wasn't a bal bechira to decide whether or not he has the right to go here or to go somewhere else. God set it up this way, and that's why it happened that way. So how is this to be understood? We have a final case. I'm sure there are many others, but one final one that comes to mind, which is a quite obvious one, that's al pi halacha. So we have in Parshas Mishpatim the story of Shor Shenagach Es HaAdam. You have, every so often, unfortunately it doesn't happen that often today, but in the times of the Gemara it happened, where you had an animal goes and gores a human being and kills the human being. So the Pasuk tells us the punishment is, you have to take the animal, Sakel Yisakel HaShor. You have to take the animal and kill the animal. So the Rambam and the Ramban have a discussion, why should the animal be killed? Did the animal choose to do something wrong? Usually you administer punishment to somebody who deserves a punishment. But here, does the animal really deserve a punishment? What did the animal do wrong? So the Rambam says, can't be. It can't be that the reason you're killing the animal is because we want to take revenge on the animal for what it did wrong. It's impossible. Rather, says the Rambam, what we want to do here is warn the owner. If you don't look out for your animals and you're not going to take responsibility for what they do, we're going to kill all them. And the same way this animal did the wrong thing and we're holding you responsible as the owner, you're going to lose the animal. That's what's going to happen in the future as well, says the Rambam. That is the reason why we kill a shor shehareg es ha'adam. Not as a mode of punishment, but rather as a way of showing the owner that he has to be more responsible over his property. And the Rambam, in fact, writes in the Mar Nevuchim, Inyan zeh hagama lebal chayim she'ena medaber. He says, are you going to tell me that we should administer a punishment to a bal chay she'ena medaber, to an animal that doesn't speak at all? He says, that doesn't make any sense. Lo nishma klal b'umen aseinu lifnim. You cannot assume that it deserves to be punished. So over here the Torah said you have to punish it. Says the Rambam, it must be that it's just a way of punishing the owner, not punishing the animal itself, because he says there is no way of assuming that an animal has a bechira. And the Ramban challenges this position and he says, how can you tell me the reason why we kill an animal who has gored a human being is because we assume that it's a punishment to the owner? Don't we know, the Gemara says in Baba Kama, Daf Mem Dalid, that a shor hamidbar, my father always points out, it's not a shor hamadaber, there's no such thing as a talking animal, but rather it's a shor hamidbar, means when you have a wild animal that has no owner, sheharag es ha'adam, if such an animal kills somebody, that animal is also going to be killed. So how do you explain that? Can't be a punishment to the owner, there is no owner. So the Ramban says, must be, that it's not a punishment to the owner. So then why do we kill the animal? Says the Ramban also, you can't assume that this is a punishment to the animal. The animal is not a bal bechira. Doesn't make sense. So it must be, says the Ramban, this is a gzeiras hakasuv. Human life is so important, and therefore it's a gzeiras hakasuv. if anybody is involved, or any human being, or any facet of creation is the cause for a human being losing their life, that thing is going to be destroyed. Period. Doesn't matter whether they deserve to be killed or not. That's the end of the story, says the Ramban. And this is why Ashar Shaharagas Adam deserves the death penalty. So as we see, there's a major discussion amongst the Rishonim, and it's not clear at all. When you read the Psukim in our Parsha, and you see what Rashi quotes in the name of the Medrash, that animals get reward or punishment for things that perhaps they do right or do wrong, how is that to be understood? Should we really think that that means that animals have a right, have an ability to be balei bechira, and they should be held responsible for the activities, for the actions that they're involved in? Or would you say perhaps that is what the Rambam says? We never find such a concept. We never find such an idea. And it would seem, says the Rambam, that human beings are the ones who are bali bechira. Human beings, our incredible quality as human beings, as people, is that we have the ability to choose and we are responsible for the things that we do. But generally we assume that the rest of the world that lives around us is not really considered the same bali bechira as we are. And that perhaps, like the Malbim said, is really what's unique. The capability of a human being, Nasa Adam Mitzalmenu Kin Museinu, means that God gave us the ability, Lahavchin Bein Tov L'Ra, to choose between good and bad, to understand what the consequences of our actions are, and to hold us accountable and responsible above and beyond the rest of society and the rest of civilization.